This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
We're having a party, dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio. The cokes are in the icebox, popcorn's on the table. Me and my baby, we're out here on the floor. So Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. Everybody's swinging, Sally's doing that twist now. If you take requests, I got a few for you. Play that song called Soul Twist. Play that one called I Know. Don't forget the mashed potatoes. No other songs will do. Let me tell you, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful Super Bowl Sunday, I guess, if that's how you want to describe it. Running around here trying to piece everything together. Anyway, a lot to talk about, and I don't even have a theme for this one. Last week we talked about the noise at Kaneohe Marine Base, and I'm still chuckling and feeling bubbly inside to have the commander out there to say that this was not the venue for discussing such matters as that, and I'm still trying to place that in the order of things. How does one dictate what should and should not be discussed on a radio show, and what they... I understand the unwillingness for them to participate, but to just declare that it is not the venue, maybe that's the psychology of the military mind. Maybe that's some of the early symptoms or warnings that maybe they have gone too far, operating within their own rules and laws and what have you. But anyway, we'll keep watching that. And statements such as that tend to remind me of a gas leak. You smell a hint of gas, maybe there's something big to come, like an explosion or something. So when military impacts civilians and fail to be concerned or ignore them or shun them and continue to increase the negative impacts, one has to ask the question. And then they jump in and say, well, you're not American if you don't support us or allow us to fly over you and drown you out, and you can't hear yourself talking over dinner. But anyway, that's so much for that. But there's a couple things I had. Last week, I moved the show back to this discussion to accommodate the issue of the noise. What I was going to be sharing with, there's many, and there's new developments on other things, but out there at Kalailoa, now, there's some serious issues, and in, again, talking about the military saying it's not the venue, there are serious issues with what was developing for the last 2-3 weeks, I'll say a month, within the past month. There's been this effort, and I would describe it as an attack on the Kalailoa racetrack. Now, mind you, environmental impacts of my concern, especially negative impacts. People owing the government money, they should be forced to pay or evicted. That's the bottom line. And that would apply to the racetrack owner if there's illegal activities, if he is, in fact, committing illegal acts, dumping, whatever there is, one should be taken out back to the woodshed and spanked a couple of times and fined and then sent back to start all over again or something like that. But there's some prevailing winds that blow that suggest, and then I'll quantify it for you or put it together as I've been doing before this. There's something terribly wrong with our state government and our federal government as well, but we're going to talk about the state and the city and using that racetrack, that incident, and the news coverage. As you saw, two separate articles in the newspaper, the Honolulu Star Advertiser, and then you saw some on TV. One about the racetrack having a lot of tires. Another was that he was grading and dumping dirt and contaminated dirt. I'm going to share a couple stories with you, an insight that I know firsthand. And again, I don't want anyone to think that I'm defending George Grace. If George Grace is a violator, then prosecute it. That's just, and I'll be there to cheer the government on. If it in fact is wrongdoings on his part, then fine. But I stand back and I look at the possible sources of the complaints that were alleged and the involvement of the state. The tires, for example, that you may, and there's the Audie Pond, and Audie Pond is in the news again today. And there's some revelations that, unfortunately, but it's not a worry about who's first, but I know a bit of history about Audie Pond. Audie Pond was that area where it is situated for military use, was a P3 site. And a lot of P3s and a lot of maintenance and what have you, and munitions and all of that were dumped in there, and other parts and military equipment and what have you, as being disclosed today in today's paper. But I spoke with some of the people out there working there 2 weeks ago, and they were there concerned with munitions or possible, just to clear them, and as you see today, it's being disclosed. And in the earlier article, there was a gentleman by the name of Lee who made comments or concerns, I think, that the pond, the activity is suggesting, and I don't have the article in front of me, that the racetrack activities and the grading or the dumping of dirt or the activities may have contributed, insinuating that it contributed to the smell and the stench of the water and the dirtiness of the water. While no one in that group, that the alarmists, no one amongst them, and I'll name the players as we go, if you're going to go out and make a claim that someone's activities by grading and doing work in an adjacent property may have contributed to the smell, or insinuating or implying or inferring. The reality is, in a tropical setting, there's something, a natural process called eutrophication. And when you have mangrove and other plants and fish and animals that may have strayed and died, rodents, whatever, you have a biological soup of sort that starts to decay. And when there's a lack of exchange of fresh water and oxygen and disturbance to create dissolved oxygen, you get anaerobic or bacteria, and you get the aerobic. So one checks the other, and on and on, and not trying to give a science class. And you get that rotting mass decay. But to infer that a person grading or moving dirt in an adjacent property is just not accurate, just not fair, and it, again, though it lent itself to selling the story that George Grace the Third was an evil person, and so therefore just throw every darn thing you can get out there, because you got him on the ropes, and you're gonna just pile on. Reality is, as far as historical sites, if there was a historical site, who on earth within historical preservation, within Hawaiian homelands, who would stand by with a thumbs up their butt and watch him do this, regardless of the violations and what have you, to know that there's a cultural site there, and will stand back and allow him to do it and find greater pleasure and running to the newspaper and telling the story that this man is an evil person and we need to do away with him and what have you. Again, so that none of you get in my crosshairs with calling up and saying I'm defending him. No, let me make clear, I am not. If George Grace is a violator, prosecute. That's all I got to say to that. But when people can gather around, and I, Tom Berg's officers, Mr. Wood, John Bond, and though Evelyn Souza's name didn't pop up in the report, she has approached me on occasion to tell me how bad George Grace III was or is. And so that because of the racetrack. The reality is there is a very strong, I won't describe it as hatred, this contentious behavior here, that Evelyn Souza, who was Tom Berg's manager, office manager, or employee at one time when he was city council, had an active role in the earlier stages of the racetrack. And in turn, she has been, and I'll describe it as she has approached me in an antagonistic fashion to try and, I guess, to throw fuel on a fire that really isn't a fire. But, you know, anywhere you can, you do this. And I read these articles, and I saw this behavior. And I'm in receipt of some of the emails where before the articles hit the news, I was provided with letters talking about Artie Pond. Fortunately, I know of Artie Pond from years going back. So you take the smell. Now, if George Grace was actually responsible for the deterioration of the quality of water of that and the attack on Artie Pond, let's call it, at a minimum, these are the things that the rest is speculation or inference. But at a minimum, if you thought that he was actually, his grading and delivery of dirt was important and had an impact on that pond, here's what you could have done and should have done before you went out and attacked this person. But I guess when you're trying to prove a point, you don't care how you do it. You, when you have an agenda sometimes, it really doesn't matter about the ethics. Or if you can push the line, you can then start to create stories, and if people buy them, then you're okay. Your points are well taken. But in this case, before anyone spoke about the impacts of the grading and the activities that Grace had conducted on his lease, one would have, at a minimum, taken a core sample. And that is simple as sticking a pipe, getting in a floating boat or a little whatever, a dinghy, and taking a pipe and taking a core sample. And you would have seen a layer, a strata, of fresh dirt that had been blown and deposited in there from the disturbance. And at least you could see maybe a, whatever, it may have been an inch, half inch, or millimeter, who knows. But at least you would have been able to look to see if that material that had settled out would have contributed to the decline or the deterioration in the quality of water in that pond. That's just one thing now, but when you're on a roll and you want to just stick it to someone, as I say, you do that by just running in there and doing whatever you want to do. And if it sticks, it gets printed, you win. So there was this issue of tires. And I want you to listen good now, because this is to say how our government participate in these activities. Now, remind you, this is the Hawaiian homelands that oversee this property, not the state health department, not the city and county of Honolulu. The city and county of Honolulu and the health department are just regulatory bodies that regulate land use ordinances, land use issues. You don't pile trash in an area that's not authorized. You can't run an open dump, and you have concerns with if you're stockpiling tires. They're there. So let's look at these tires, for example, and I know a bit about it firsthand. I know that the tires that are in question, and this is when they say when you do good always, it doesn't pay to do good sometimes, and a great many of the tires that were involved that's on this site that was of concern to the state health department and to Hawaiian homelands and to the city and county of Honolulu. A great many of those tires came from a community cleanup that George Grace's family participated in Waianae and Nanakuli in those areas. Miley Shimabukuro, Karen Owana, even Mr. Daniel Inouye, Senator Daniel Inouye, former, the deceased, chimed in, and it was a good thing. Well, those tires went to a place to be delivered and dumped, and for some strange reason, the party that owned the container that had the tires contained in them to dispose of them, quote, needed his containers. So therefore, they had to immediately get rid of these tires, get them out of the containers because he, quote, needed his containers. So they found their way to the racetrack. So, in steps the Department of Health. Now, mind you, George Grace is, as he's saying, it's accurate, he was already working with and negotiating with, or whatever it is, with Hawaiian homelands. And I was privy, I was there at the city and county of Honolulu's office on King Street, and I had a number of kupuna with me there to teach them how to look at records and do research, and we were looking into the community benefit package from the landfill, and as we disclosed on many shows, that there were a number of the players in there that had gotten special favor. Some had been allowed to receive, not that they got it all, some $370,000+. And within that was one individual, Rogette Bernardina, who is an inspector for the state health department, solid and hazardous waste branch. For some strange reason, now, these kupuna were involved, and a lot of sparks flew out of that in disclosing and wanting to account for the monies that were given by Mufi Hanneman to these special select people. which was, one was Bernadette, Bernardino's brother, Kalii, Kimo Kalii, received these grants. She has an organization called Mana Mana Lima. Now, Kimo is quite, at that time, is in tug of war with one of the Kupuna, Lucy Gay, and others, and he was being taken to task by the community neighborhood board and commission and what have you. So, isn't it strange that because they were complaining, the Kupuna had raised the issue that Bernardino, being a state employee, being a state inspector for the Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, would actually be in receipt of a grant and serving as a president of that organization. So, isn't it strange that she would show up at the gates with another inspector to inspect the property for contaminated soils and the other problems with the tire stored or whatever it was that they were supposedly seeking? Isn't it strange that the coincidence, you would think that her boss, Stephen Chang, would have issued an order because of the potential conflict? I ask you to stand down and I will allow someone else if it was necessary to go. So while we're in this office, stepping back a bit, in this office with the Kupuna, I had the occasion to speak with Stephen Chang, and I shared with him, and Stephen Chang is the top hound dog in the Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch. In fact, I have come to learn that he is the godfather of wheeling and dealing, and he can put the hammer down on you if someone picks up the phone, or if he doesn't like what you say, or if they want to cover it up, he can just issue the order. Just don't pursue it. And I can lay these things out. I've documented them. While they thought I was coming to them and giving them, and they were blowing me off, the reality is I was going out there documenting and handing these things to them over my shoulder, but documenting so that I can have this day to say that it is corrupt. It's nothing. They can use it to harass you, or punish you, or destroy you. This innocent little department called the Hawaiian Department of Health, Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, all of them are capable of doing it, and they will lend themselves to this. But going back to this situation, so I spoke to Chang, and I shared with him that I was there with the Kupuna, and I had understood that the Kupuna were going to use some money that they had gotten from a grant to dispose of the tires. Chang told me that would have been improper, that he didn't give them that money for that purpose. So, mind you now, this is the group that have cleaned these tires up, and for some strange reason they found their way at the land, at the racetrack, and as I've explained. So then George Grace's sister, Sabrina Grace, and I'm privy to these conversations firsthand sitting there, she calls from that same room Stephen Chang. And she explains to Chang that she had received a call from Todd Nichols and others, and I heard this firsthand, this isn't hearsay. She shared with him and advised him that there was Michelle Calhoun, who worked for the DHHL, Hawaiian Homelands, and she was a land inspector, and that she and others were going to have been working with them, and they were out of town or not available, but would return Monday. Chang demanded, no, the inspector, Todd Nichols, demanded that they be allowed to go there. And she told him, no, I'm refusing. I'm not going to allow you to, period. He then goes to Chang, and Chang firsthand shared with me that no one say no or become disrespectful to his inspectors. So now, mind you, look at this. You got Bernardino, Roget Bernardino, the inspector, working for Stephen Chang. You got Todd Nichols there. And then you have Chang not wanting to use the money that he's given for grants for beautification and all that in that area to get rid of the tires. I equate that to setting the stage or setting the environment or the climate, manipulating things so that you want to get George Grace so bad that you're going to bleed him out by setting up these circumstances. So you first object to them using monies that you've given for grant now for use in public cleanups and whatever, beautifications. So you say no there, you put the kibosh on that. You send your inspector or who can go and get a search warrant, as they did, and then you going to teach Sabrina Grace a lesson because she said no to your inspectors. The article written won't convey that, and sometimes the danger is if they're out to get you, they make the statements, they put it out there, and then you're in a bind. You're either going to come and speak and contaminate any sensible process that you might guard against from incriminating yourself, or you can be silent and the public can go away with, well, if it was me, I would speak up. But the reality is, when you have a concerted effort to just drill you into the ground, maybe it's best to not speak. And maybe it's best that when they get to smelling and tasting that blood that they've drawn, they'll become irrational and leave themselves open to a lawsuit or be reckless, because once they see they're getting the momentum and have gained momentum, they're going to push harder and become even more reckless. That is the explanation, and that is not manufactured by me regarding this tires, and is not offered as a defense to George Grace or for George Grace III. Then there is the dirt. They went in and they sampled the dirt. They went and got a search warrant. Now, as described to me, they asked for the permission to go on. They were told no, in the state. So they then go get a search warrant. They say, we're going to go get a search warrant. Well, let me share with you something. In my background in dealings, when I was an agent, if I said to someone, if you don't let me search your car, if you don't let me search your property, I'm going to go get a search warrant. If a judge heard those statements, he would not take it too kindly, because you don't just go and get a search warrant like you're going to the store on a hot day to buy a popsicle. You have to have the evidence. You do an affidavit. You have to have probable cause. So you don't tell someone because you didn't. You just leave, and you leave someone there to survey the area and surveil the area so that containment, and it depends on the effervescence of the evidence. You're not too excited. How long is it going to take them to move 1,000 tires and dig up 100 tons of dirt? You know, so this whole process, what you're witnessing and what you were able to read in that paper on that racetrack issue, is a reflection of what we're dealing with, what government is and how it operates. Can't believe everything you read because there's some part of the story that wasn't told. So why am I sharing this with you? Because for the last 6-7 years, it's been a long and tortuous effort. And people say, well, why are you doing this? And my goal is to clean it up now, but to lay out a pattern of deceit that I have discovered within the state governments, where I can take them to a pipe that is dumping and flowing toxic waste, and they will tell me, we got it from here. And then you look a year later, it is still flowing, and nobody got prosecuted, and they blow me off. But I'm okay with that, because I knew one day, and it's coming now, I have my day to share with you how sleazy this process is with the state health department. And when I say that, I mean it. And I'll demonstrate to you if you have the desire to listen further, individually, independently, or call or write me, carolcox.com. I'll forward you tons of documents. Now, what was the rush to grab George Grace? And I believe that if he was violating the law, darn it, you better get on him, man. But I had filed several complaints with the health department, the same inspectors, Rosette Bernardino and her office, and with Steve Chang. There is one tenant that rents from Collie Watson, who was the former director of, is a former director of DHHL. Now, he has several acres that he's renting or leasing, and he's subleasing them to others. And the pictures, I think we've posted some up in the past. Oil leaking, dripping, machinery dripping on the ground. The rules are you can't have that because of the state, federal laws, but also the DHHL. I filed a complaint back in May of 2011, and being patient, Steve Chang's office get this complaint, and there were others. But in this one, oil draining down into the gutter, into the water, running out into the ocean. Nothing. They went there. Rosette Bernardino claimed she went there. She attempted to call the tenant. The tenant never called back. So therefore, they dropped the case, didn't prosecute. Now, I know, and maybe some of you know out there that are experts in law and experience, that if a party isn't there and don't respond to you, you go to the person that's leasing to them and you say, one of your tenants are violating a law and contaminating this pollutants. You're going to have to do something. We're holding you accountable. Well, that is exactly what they claimed they did by contacting, they were contacting Collie Watson. But they dropped it because no one called them back. Meantime, they're chasing George Grace like he stole money out of the church bowl as they pass it around, the offering. Why would they not take any action against Bill Mahas, who was Collie Watson's, one of Collie Watson's tenants? And then why would the DHHL, and I've read these emails before, and communications between Collie and the land manager, Mr. Young, and Michelle Calhoun. And we talk to these guys. Why would they not prosecute? They knew it. They would write letters like, how's it, Collie? Your tenant is still screwing up. But why didn't they go get a search warrant? Why didn't Rosette Bernardino go get a search warrant? Why didn't Steve Chang go get a search warrant? Why didn't the city and county of Honolulu go out there and see the many violations that Collie Watson's organization, the Hawaii Community Development Enterprise and Hawaii Community Development Board, on property they have left there and leased to others? Why were they in pursuit, hot pursuit I should describe, of George Grace III? Mind you, George Grace has had his problems, as far as the cost and the owing a rent, and I'll speak to that and share some logical insight, because what was out there, it was a day of lynching that a few people had in their minds and in their hearts to project the nastiest efforts there are. Now, in that process, Michelle Kauhani, Joby Masagatani, and all of them stood by. But boy, they piled on George Grace. And for those of you out there that have some doubt, I will offer you the documents free of charge. I'll email them to you in PDF, and you can see for yourself. This is one of those. I was so thrilled that the Honolulu Advertiser wrote, the Star Advertiser wrote that article or those articles, because it no one really would believe to what extent one would go. The government will go. And I shouldn't say the government. It's just a few chancy actors who decide to walk out on the wild side and behave, and no one has any constraints on them or control over them. It's a free fall, you know, because the practice is they've become acclimated to Carol Cox finding some contaminants. He shares it with the media. The media then are interested in the story, but it may take 3 days, 3 weeks before they will do a story, because the state health department can't get off of their butts or take the thumbs out of their butts, or don't want to taint their friends or who they're protecting. So they delay and they stall. And they then finally give in to an interview. And so there's no challenge. Well, what are you going to do about this? We're investigating it. Or not, how are you investigating? Will there? Oh, and there's a $25,000 a day fine that we can impose. Really? When have you imposed a $25,000 fine? No one takes the health department to task. So I quietly sat back, like some young hyena, just anxious, but waiting my time. And so when I saw that article or those articles, I thought it's time to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. Now, the cat can be as wild or as tame. It's up to you as citizens to understand and stop accepting this crapola, not granola, but crapola. And when you see this and you see these stories and you go, wow, let me share one thing with you and warn you. What you saw happen to George Grace can happen to you. If you don't believe it, I can give you a number of people that have been taken to task, while others get to bask in the sunshine and spend their money that they've earned while operating illegally, polluting the water, polluting the air, polluting the ground, destroying endangered species habitat and the works. And what do they say? We're looking into it. So, the dirt, mind you, they trucked in a lot of dirt at the racetrack. I can tell you, and I've gotten calls from truckers who said, you know, we did deliver dirt over there, but the only thing we did was dumped it over there. Now, he didn't have a stockpiling permit. Then they should take George Grace and punish the living daylights out of him for operating and receiving dirt without a permit, stockpiling permit or grading permit. I mean, they really should. If George Grace is in violation, screw him to the ground and make him walk around in circles until he get it right. Whatever. But do the same thing for others that violate the law. Don't do it to teach him and his sister and family a lesson. Because while you're teaching George Grace a lesson, you may give Carol Cox an opportunity to teach the public a lesson and give the public an insight of how treacherous the state health department has become, or is, or has evolved. And again, the dirt, the truckers say, well, yes, we delivered dirt there, and they sampled the dirt. The government sampled the dirt and didn't find any contaminants of concern. So why then would you think that just right down the street now there is the situation with Douglas Westbrook? or Joanne Westbrook. I'll be careful because I've talked to Douglas, and he thinks that I'm trying to impugn his integrity. But the reality is I'm just trying to sort through a bunch of crap that the government has tossed out there and trying to make the people digest. This is what it is. Douglas Westbrook's wife, in her name, Joanne Westbrook, has some ownership or major interest in Extreme Paintball. Now remember, George Grace, by now, if you can imagine, is sitting there with electrodes stuck down his mouth, on his ears, on his, you know, groin areas and whatever, and his family jewels, to punish him for stockpiling tires and bringing dirt in that was suspected to be contaminated and polluting and stinking up a pond that is a million years old or more. In a tropical setting, and eutrophication is set in and actively involved. But by now, they're sitting there, if you can imagine, with this switch going, okay, buddy, we are going to make an example out of you. You're polluting and contaminating, and you're not adhering to the city rules, the state rules, or the federal rules. And in fact, God called us because, oh, yeah, by the way, there's nobody has, we talk to God. We are that powerful in this state. Really? But Westbrook, the paintball, went in, graded, grubbed, did things that were inconsistent with the land use ordinances, and had submitted plans to the city and county of Honolulu's Department of Planning and Permitting, and never received a building permit, never received a stockpiling permit, never received a grading permit, set up a business, operates it till this day, and the only time they get a violation notice is when I let the cat out of the bag and say, well, you know, while you're over there, maybe you want to use some of that political enforcement juice that you're having, selectively enforcing the law, and go over there to Westbrook. Oh, and by the way, while you're at it, pull the same stunts. I want to see that same electrode stuck down Collie Watson's mouth and on his ears and his testicles to make him, punish him for violating and polluting the air and the water and the land and being delinquent in payments. So what you see here is, I'm not taking sides, but you don't have any protection with the state health department. You don't. You have the individuals that they want to protect, they will protect, not the general public. In instances when we found salmonella, people sickened by salmonella in years past. People are sickened. What does the health department do? They sit on it until I uncover it and find out that people are eating fish from Safeway and other major stores had eaten fish that were... had salmonella, and they wouldn't tell you, and they let it go. Fukino let it go and kept it on the cover. They wouldn't label the fish with carbon monoxide. But until I file a legal action or file a complaint. So why was they so intent on and bent on prosecuting George Grace? Well, if you go and look, you'll probably see, and I think this is me going out on the limb here, but there are some documents, and there is a deep-seated legal battle with George Grace and Colleen Hanabusa and her husband. Did any of that play into this, influencing? This is a government agency. Well, if we could do anything to minimize George Grace's approach in defending himself or challenges that he may present to Colleen Hanabusa and her husband in the lawsuit, would that immobilize him or neutralize him to some degree? You might think that I'm on drugs and stretching it, but that's what the health department will lend itself to. This is what we call corruption. This is what we know to be a fact, that how they can operate. They won't go and tell you at Safeway that you bought fish and people that people have already bought and were sick in salmonella. They won't tell you that. They wait until some happy-go-lucky environmentalist named Carol Cox come along and force them to. But if you're a single-family business and you find E. coli in the food, or, oh, they will take it and put on the news and do an interview and be standing right there in front of your sign and you're shut down and destroyed. But they won't do it at Safeway. This is the imbalance. This is the, when you know, we always think that people are paranoid when they talk about the government will get you. Yes, this government will get you. Either knowingly or intentionally or by design, by failing to do and enforce the rules equally and fair. So we take this information and we look at it, and I gave the state health department in the recent past months documents where one tree trimming company, GLADS and Innovative Ideal Innovations, and the tree people were involved. They have a contract. One of them, GLADS, they're all intermixed. So the owner that has a contract with the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Boating and Recreation, is to take all the trash out of the Olowide. And they're supposed to take it to the landfill. But some of this into the landfill at PBT, not to the landfill at Waianae, Waimanalo Gulch. So they contract with this company, voting the state agency, and this company takes this material by the tons and tons of it and dump it in a field in Wahiwa. They also bring materials from the military base. They also allow other truckers to come in, and they were operating an illegal dump, and they filled the canyon. I personally accompanied the city and county of Honolulu's inspectors on that site and through their invitation and showed them what the drivers and workers had shown me. All of this dirt, rocks, contamination, more than what George Grace would have done or did. And the health department to this day has not made that company pull one single load out. And in fact, they're still allowing. The land is on Dole's property, and I understand that the company got a new lease, a three-year lease extended. This is the word I've gotten. But where is the state health department in its aggressive approach? I took in the witnesses to them, sat with the deputy attorney general, and to this date, the witnesses provided detailed logging and all of what was transported there. They have not prosecuted or taken any legal action. And in fact, you see, they're in a mode where the health department, solid and hazardous waste, now run by Gary Gill and Neil. So they're not out there to, they can't criminally prosecute anyone. They have to go to the attorney general. So here's what I offer. Why do we have people sitting around and lending themselves to setting people up? Why don't we take a great bit of that funding and give it directly to the attorney general? Trust me, they'll get you. If you're violating the law and you're out there polluting, I know those guys, and they are skilled investigators. But you go to the health department, solid and hazardous waste, they can't find their way to church on Christmas Eve because they have so much clout on top that no one is able to challenge them, because what they say goes. They have the last word. There's no other entity that's going to cross swords with them, except for myself and a few other people in the community. But you are looking at corruption, and if you think you can drink your water And we're going to be talking about the water in Aina Haina, the incident there that was aired on KHON. 1,500 houses receiving contaminated water for some 45 days that they admit to and never told the people. Yet the health department, Safe Water Drinking Branch, knew about it, still never made a public notice. But George Grace III, we'll talk about how he got worked over or getting worked over, and we'll talk about the Hawaiian homelands and all the other folks. But this is for real, folks. And I'm not paranoid. No, I didn't have a bad cup of coffee either. I'm just telling you that you'd better be careful, because they can work in concert with the health department, DPP, Department of Planning and Permitting, and stick you and screw you to the wall, while others get to parade. And the only word they have to do, some of these businesses that they protect, here's what they have to worry about. If the bank is open or if the bank is closed, so they can get there in time to make their deposits on the money they've made while polluting the air freely, free of any concerns from the oversight from the state, polluting the water, the air, and the land, and you and me. So we'll come back and we'll talk to you shortly. CarolCox.com, and it's also at CarolCox@CarolCox.com. 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to chime in the next hour. Take care.
WAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. 524-1080, call and I guess lost patience, whatever. But I was discussing the Department of Health and its handling of the Kalailoa racetrack, but not specifically the Kalailoa, but the behavior of the state agency and how this thing has played out. And I want to, it's not a disclaimer if you're slow enough not to understand what I'm talking about and want to take issue with that I'm defending George Grace, then you got the wrong show because you're surely not listening to what I'm saying. But feel free to call in and offer your exchanges or input. But going back to this, and I want to spend a lot of time on this subject because it's a reality. And you might think that we're being protected. We're not. We're being bamboozled by tons of paperwork, overpaid employees, and even if they went out and did their job, they still got to go back to the godfathers of those divisions, of those branches, and ask them, what should they do? And if the orders roll from the top, the governor and what have you, and I offer this little insight. As you know, the governor suspended all of the environmental laws and county zoning laws and what have you in his proclamation, his secret proclamation of last year. So why then would his agencies, such as the Department of Health and the city and county of Honolulu, which doesn't fall directly under his purview, why would they be there pursuing if the governor suspended all laws to accommodate a few developers and a few military efforts, and it was about Maui, the munitions and what have you? But why were they there serving search warrants and digging and scratching and talking about it in the newspapers and all when their boss, the kingpin, had already lifted and suspended the proclamation, or through the proclamation, environmental laws? Just a little something to ponder. But I shared with you a while back, and I'm revealing to you this plan that why I was motivated all along documenting these things, and only a fool would do what I do repeatedly. You go out and you find it, you the public calls because you don't trust the government, you're just tired of them because you call them and nothing gets done, and so then I get a call from you and I appreciate it and don't stop calling. But I saw something unique here. I saw the opportunity to, at a minimum, if nobody listens to me, if nobody act on what I say, I'm tossing it out here so that you now can be better informed and look at the other side of it, perspective. And here it is. I would go out, and even though I could predict the outcome, I would still do the most detailed investigation that was possible for me so that I could give it back to the state so that they could not come up with an excuse later when I challenge them and say, you're corrupt because you're selectively enforcing the law. And I will tell you something else. There is a tendency, and I believe there's people paying people off. From what I see now, I don't believe that we should have a bottle bill per se and have the state government managing it. I believe what we should have is a privatized bottle bill, recycling bill, and let the industry support itself, because the state government knows that there's all kinds of tricks. As you saw back here about a week, a month ago, they did a story about the recyclers and it's not accurate and some hanky-panky. We had raised that 2 years ago or so, where what kind of aluminum are you shipping off to the mainland, Mr. Recycler? And what kind of bill are you giving back? So let's say, who's watching? So they take 1 million pounds of bottles or aluminum cans, start with. And then they also take aluminum car rims or tire rims or aluminum from refrigerators and put it in the pile and send it off. Who's checking? So they turn around and say, we have actually recycled 2 million pounds of aluminum cans, when in reality the state has to take their word for it, can't challenge them because they don't have the smarts. When they went and supported the bill, they know they never intended. So we got reuse over there of sister company of Roloff, who, by the way, also has a rent or lease agreement with Collie Watson that was operating, that I filed a complaint with, and the state health department did nothing, but they found their way at George Grace's doorstep with a search warrant. So, again, what they do is, back up here, talking about the godfathers in health department. You know that I share with you on Hickam Air Force Base and on Kaneohe Marine Base, there was an issue with the EALs in soils, the contaminants. EALs, environmental action levels, meaning if you had chlordane, and just say for the sake of this conversation, you had 10 parts per billion. And the law says if you have 10 parts per billion, you must pack it up. Don't let a human being look at it. It's so contaminated or whatever, being facetious here. But you must take special precautions. And then we don't have a toxic landfill here, so we have to ship it out. So what happens? The state tell you they don't have authority on military bases, depending on the situation, if they want to do any work. They'll come up with an excuse. Well, you know, it's really not in our purview. Or it's not within our jurisdiction. We just share. But then when it's time to use a state to buffer or insulate a violator on federal lands, here comes the state health department, strapped and with guns and armed and ready to go and rock and roll and enforce the law. So in this case at Hickam Air Force Base, the contractor, the developer, received approximately $3 million or more. I don't know the exact amount. I don't have the paper in front of me. But this money they received as part of this development and cleanup was to remove or remediate the EALs, which were at a high level of concern. So it dictated, and the health department, as I read on the show many times from their documents, told them what to do. This developer told the federal government in their contractual bids that they needed X millions to clean up and adhere to the cleanup rules and be in compliance with state law and what have you. So the health department got in bed with these guys, as I've read in the emails to you, decided, we can help you because we're the kingpins of environmental crime here, see, because nobody has control over us. I'm the director. I'm the branch manager. The governor appointed me. So, you know, and it's the governor wants it done. So, you know, just, hey, brother, we can work it out. So what's that workout? So they get millions of dollars from the federal government in the bid, in the contract, to build housing. But in the process, they must remediate land or clean land up. So what does the state do? They give them strict rules and say, you must adhere to this and that. Then what happens? They don't comply. The developer does not comply. And we find dirt hauled here and there, willy-nilly everywhere, contaminated. It doesn't comply with the state's requirements. So what happened? The kingpins in government and here, Hazardous Emergency Environmental Response Office and all, and solid and waste, engage in this process. We'll raise the levels. Therefore, the levels are higher now So the levels that we've detected in the soil and that you've reported were once illegal or once needed to do some special action on to remediate it. But what we'll do is raise the levels. So, as I gave you that example, 10 was the magic number then that required them to do certain things. So the state kingpins decided, we'll help a brother out. They raised the levels. And let's just say 10 was bad, so they decided, we'll raise it to 25. And look at it and go, is that high enough for you, brother? Because you know you might be experiencing a few more unknowns, so you think we should raise it up again? That's basically what happened. But now we move back to George Grace III. There are those electrodes attached to his testicles and his ears and his mouth and what have you. And they're standing there saying, hey, get in touch with the Honolulu Advertiser, or Star Advertiser. Get in touch with the media. We got ourselves an example here. That's what happened, folks. If you gave any credence, lent any respect to the practice of the health department in this or any other issue, then you're inviting. You should be demanding, not because I say it or suggest it. I'm not going to lie to you. The most corrupt practice in conservation, in environmental management, exists right here on this island. Forget the other corruption you think you know about. Our waters can be polluted, and they'll lie to you on camera. They're going to look at it, and they're investigating. When they don't have a single agent or inspector with law enforcement authority that has the capacity to go out and formal training to document, to take evidence, to read the Miranda rights, or to advise the rights, to develop serious chains of custody, what they do, their practice is to go out, if you report 5 barrels of contaminants, there, they go out and they shoot an angle of 1 barrel and come back and say it's not a big deal. And when the newspapers or the TV go and ask them as a follow-up, they go, well, we're looking into it. This is after you have to plead with them to come and give a statement. So I use the George Grace as an example. Now, some of you older listeners know that I went up to Waianae, Haleakala area. And in that area, I found some solid waste dumped. And in there was asbestos, tars, and contaminated dirts, and asphalts, metals, rebar, all those things that are illegal to have on land that's not a landfill. The Haleakala area was not a landfill. But what I noticed conspicuously there standing out is this pile. And it was consistent with the remnants of a house. And so I probed around carefully because, you know, I'm sitting here telling you there was asbestos in here. No, I didn't just go rummaging around. I was very careful, and because I want to prove a point. That's to what extent I will go to show you. So don't take it for granted and take it lightly or blow me off, because I've gone through great lengths to try and educate and protect you and myself and the land that I love. But here's what happened. I find this one box, just nothing else, one box of electrical wiring that was purchased in Colorado from an electrical supply. I found on that box one little address label. From that I called the city, county of Honolulu, and asked, do you have a permit or any actions or pull on this address? And bingo, yes, we do. It was a downtown address. A company had been paid to demolish a house there and the formation so they could rebuild a new house. And they tore that house up, traveled to the Haleakala Canyon, which is, now listen, owned by Hawaiian Homeland. And dumped that house with everything else that they've been dumping for years. And so this is the Hawaiian homelands now. This is the same people that, as in concert with the health department and the city and county of Honolulu, went to turn up the amperage on George Grace's testicles that they had the wires attached to. Because they're going to make an example out of him. But on the other hand, here is a limited right of entry permit issued back in 2005. Date December of 2005 in January. And it says they're allowing a company to dump their materials in that canyon to build a fire break. But in this permit, they don't have a single plan. They don't have a single condition where anything you dump up there must be sampled and a manifest documenting where the origin of the materials come from. This permit was issued by Department of Hawaiian Homeland. Then it also says that no other person can be joined in or benefit from this process, only the company they originated, which was Foster's Trucking, and can't extend this to anyone else. And in fact, it says, this permit is non-transferable. The permission granted shall not extend to any other organization or person, and the permittees agree to save, defend, hold harmless the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, its agents and employees against any claim or demand for loss. Well, Foster's Trucking had been issued this permit, right of entry permit. No oversight. Yet they're at George Grace's property demanding he let them in, or they're going to go get a search warrant. Yet Hawaiian Homelands is giving a permit to a person who they know is a demolition and contracting and trucking and hauling. So this person then extends an invite to Westbrook Trucking and Equipment. And they proceed to operate for some extended period of time. So I contacted the PBT landfill and asked. Because I had seen the permit that was issued by the Department of Planning and Permitting, and asked them if they could provide me records of any incident of them documenting or them having materials hauled from this home in downtown. They had an actual, you have to get a clearance if you're going to dump at PVT, and you have to disclose what this material is, where it originated and all. So they got a permit and a number, and in there it says Foster's Trucking and Westbrook Trucking and Transport and Equipment Rental. And it was signed by Linda Chen. And it said her consent. She's the one that also wrote a letter, and I want you to listen. Why is this so important? In my opinion, I think that it shows how they will go to one extreme to allow someone to violate the law and ignore it, their activities, and then make a spectacle or an example of George Grace. For what purposes, to this day, I don't understand and don't know. But I'm speculating that it's because when you're dealing with the mafia or like thereof, or conflicted, confused, corrupt government officials, anything is possible. If you want me to repeat that, well, I won't repeat it. You can play it back. It'll be at carolcox.com so you can get the words right. December 4th, 2008. Now, the health department received a complaint about that activity, and they told the Hawaiian homelands that, listen, accumulation of solid waste end of Haleahi Road in Waianae on September 22nd, 2008, in response. This is a warning letter now, not a prosecution letter, not a search warrant, not anything other than a warning letter, and that's just like giving a child bubble gum for bad behavior. The solid and waste section, visit the cul-de-sac at the end of the Haleahi Road and Gravel Road leading to the subject site. The areas near the subject site, the property boundaries were not clearly marked, making identification of the parcels visited uncertain. However, it appears that all property in the area is inspected along the Department of Hawaii and Homelands. More than 1 cubic yard of solid waste, including a piece of machinery, tires, and miscellaneous rubbish, were at the cul-de-sac. Along the gravel road leading to the TMK 86003009, in multiple areas, solid waste in form of painted concrete, possibility lead paint, and the waste tires, scrap metal, and remains of car were noted. In addition, at or near the TMK, solid waste in the form of approximately 10 cubic yards of concrete slabs, 5 cubic yards of asphalt slab, and on and on. So, this was before I went there. They didn't prosecute him. So, what was the solution? State, the kingpins went in, sent their inspectors, took pictures, had a report, did their thing, their cover-up, and everything was fine. And so, to make sure that everything was fine, this is what they did. You won't find one of these in George Grace's file because they're out to get him. But in this instance, up at Haleahi, they were out to insulate the wrongdoers and the Hawaiian homeland. So here's what happened, December 4th. Now remember, the health department's letter was written now, a letter of warning was written on October 7th, 2008. So they then allowed the Hawaiian homelands to send a letter on December 4th, 2008. So October, November, and December, the Hawaiian homelands send a letter to the city and county of Honolulu and saying, false is trucking at Haleahi. The Department of Hawaiian Homelands has issued a permit to Mr. J. Foster, owner of Foster Trucking, to assist us with creating a firebreak and deter trespassing near Pahihi Ridge in Waianae. DHHL requests that Mr. Foster be allowed to apply for a stockpiling permit at the above site for transport soil to create burn and fill area, even uneven areas of the ground. Your assistance with this matter is greatly should you lend a chin. So, why didn't you see one of those with George Grace? Now, mind you, in Haleahi, Foster wasn't paying them anything for rent or lease. Was able to bring anything in, even dumped a house. I have the receipts. I have the documents. I have the permit. So does the state health department. What does the state health department do? This is after the 2008 incident. In 2009, I come along and find all of this, more of it, dumped. And what they do? Nothing. They told the Hawaiian homelands, you must get someone to do a bid and clean it up and do some testing to see what is really here. And for more than a year, they moved around. I don't even know if they've cleaned it up yet. But no prosecution. No formal complaints of prosecution. No nothing. But George Grace, and I hope you can appreciate why, and I'm not defending George Grace, I'm just trying to share with you what is really going on, not behind the scenes. These people are overt in their behavior because there's nothing on top of them that will hold them accountable. The EPA has turned its back on you. It has given the authority for them to enforce the clean water, clean air, and all of that, and radiation and noise. And each time it happened, you can't find a special agent or an enforcement person in this state that is out there with their fingers in the air prosecuting people. They prosecute Steve Swift. They prosecuted the crackhead on a moped for dumping some oil. But look what happens here. No oversight. And if you call, like I've called the EPA, it's a song and dance. Well, we don't do that. That's their authority. When the medical waste was dumped into the ocean and allowed to sit there, and they could have avoided, by the way, as we've disclosed, instead of prosecuting them, what happened? Gary Gill went on the Hill and declared it was a 100-year storm. EPA came along and helped them write their press release to make sure that it said the right things and duped the people. Tulsi Gabbard went out and got a pretty picture of herself out there talking about blood, gore, and needles. But we're still stuck with the corruption, Tulsi. Maybe while you're up there, you can have that as a memory and bring in some investigators that's really with the sights honed on protecting us and prosecuting not just the dumpers, but the state health department and those kingpins that are sitting there covering up and conspiring with the laws, reducing levels of EALs, dragging their feet or declining to prosecute and handling matters in a civil process. This is what is irritating about this process that I share with you, and again, it may not make sense now, but I think you'll appreciate if, as time goes on, you might find yourself in a predicament such as this and not be a victim. And maybe we need better coverage. And I'm seeing some things here. We have one company owns three TV stations, and they're not asking the probative questions anymore. Maybe you want to, rather than stop listening to them, maybe you want to call them up and say, hey, you know, is it possible that you can direct some of your budget to an investigative reporter, one or two? Because if you have three stations and you're giving us the same thing, that's kind of a little dangerous precedent or dangerous behavior, because we'll never know. And then when I give them the information, they defer to the state, and there's this pretty face standing there if they go, and their public spokesperson, who I've come to learn is the Dragon Lady, but that's between me and her. But again, it's Chinese New Year's come for me every day when I deal with her. But this is crazy. You're not being protected. You can't trust that they will tell you the truth. Wahiwar area had illnesses, Narvo virus. What did they do? Nothing. You find out later. Then they start talking. You find it on the cruise ships, as I have found many years now, reported, and they go to bat for the company as if they're trying to protect a criminal. People do get sick. The virus can't exist on the ship. Just let us know about it. You don't have to cover it up. So, at Campbell Industrial Park, we look at all of this and we can ask these questions. What is it that make them protect one entity or business and screw the other one to the wall? I don't know. I if you have any suggestions or any insight, I would love for you to share it with me, because it's puzzling, and I don't really see the benefit why. And what they'll tell you, for example, a recycling, there's Island Recycling. Time and time again, if you look at the complaints that I filed on them, you would say I'm nuts to continue to contact the city and county of Honolulu or the state health department or the EPA. But I'm not. I'm as cagey as a fox, because I know one day the chickens will come home to roost, and one day it may not be a Bhopal or whatever, but I will lay the foundation that people can turn around and say that the state health department, the city and county of Honolulu, and the EPA all fail, and that lends itself to legal, in my opinion, leverage on the part of the citizens. We have documentation that on one hand you did nothing, and on here you did something. But that something was to maim an individual, but not a corporation, leaving us to defend for ourselves. There's absolutely no way that you should be able to drive around the island and look at streams flowing down from the mountains, blocked off by berms of sand, trash, shopping carts, and what have you. The State Health Department, Clean Water Branch, the Army Corps of Engineers, and all of those people should be holding the feet of the city and county and the developers to the fire, because when they are allowed to design these cement girders and channelization of the streams, in there they say, this is what we're going to do, is protect, to ensure by doing this, we're going to be concerned with the flow of water and the rate of flow of water and the speed and all of that, and we're going to keep it clean because we're going to pick it up once in a while. But they don't do that. So if you're curious, that is why I do what I do. I believe that one day the chicken's going to come home the roost, whether you catch them or someone. And unfortunately, in the way I see it now, it's going to take an incident where people get sick or badly injured in large numbers, or we're going to find something wrong, and then we'll be able to go back and some good lawyer somewhere, or team of lawyers in this case, will be able to stick it to them. And yes, I know it's the taxpayers' money, but it's also the taxpayers' health and welfare and well-being. So this George Grace matter is something, and again, I repeat, not defending him, but seizing the opportunity to say to you that something's terribly wrong in Denmark. Something stinks. It's a cover-up. And speaking of cover-ups, now, I mentioned to you the name Evelyn Souza, and she worked for Tom Byrd at one time. Now, I know that she has gone and has approached me to see what I can do to either expose George Grace for some activities that he's done, what have you, and back and forth. But while all of this was going on, and Tom Berg is involved at the Ordi Pond and all of that, and with John Bond and all, but in that little hui, Evelyn Souza has a large amount of paint stored in a bunker because they own FPS painting contractors. And you don't see placards as required. You don't know what type of paint is stored there. And yet the Hawaiian Homeland leases to her. You can see pictures of it at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. Now, again, while I'm saying that in Berg's office, I think while he meant well, you have to say to yourself, something's wrong here. If you're chasing and pointing the finger at others, you should look at things in a broader perspective and see what's wrong in its entirety. Not being microscopically looking in the direction of George Grace. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hey, Carol. Good subject. You know, I really do admire your persistence in getting this thing burned out. But the environment is very important, because if we don't have a good environment here, our tourist industry suck. Nobody want to come here if it's all toxic and can't go in the water, can't enjoy ourselves. Any place on the island, mm-hmm. It's all polluted. Another thing is, you forgot somebody else that is in the political arena that I believe was an environmentalist. Wasn't Brian Schatz an environmentalist person?
Yeah.
And I talked to him recently last year on another radio show. I asked him about the situation where I live in Kaneohe, where there was some milky substance in a stream and it was heading out for Kaneohe Bay. And the inspectors came out, they just looked at it and said, well, it's a $25,000 fine each day if they find that person or persons that did that. But they didn't do nothing about cleaning the mess up and let it go out in the ocean. And Mr. Schott said, well, you know, they're doing a great job at the Department of Health and everything else. And DNLR and everything else, but that really didn't answer my question. But I thought he was more compassionate in finding the environment, but I guess not.
And I
want to see what he's going to do as a U.S. Senator, what he's going to do about the environment. I'll probably go email him and let him know.
He's probably going to do shots for any of us.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, that's probably what he's going to do. He was involved in the shark fin bill and things of that nature, but, you know, they don't look, and I don't dictate who they come just because I'm a loudmouth that they should speak to me, but they've shunned me, so obviously I can just tell you I want nothing from them and more than can be helpful, and so they're not considering all the elements out there, regardless how distasteful I might appear. You know, hard to swallow. The facts are the facts, and my evidence is my evidence. I didn't manufacture it. I just gathered it.
Yeah. And then Hirono was the same thing when she did that thing at Bellows.
Oh, yeah.
Came on TV and said, oh, cleaned up this and that from, you know, the dump over there.
Yeah, but go read the background and see how it got cleaned up. They had already concluded that it was going to be just put 6 inches of soil and let the soldiers train until I roll up my sleeve with Joe Ryan and spent days, months, weeks, and couldn't get Hirono and any of them to respond to us until we file a complaint. Oh, now we can get $1 million and we can clean up these landfills.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, so again, that's what they do in this town.
Right.
You know, they, I don't know.
It's a shame, but thanks for the good work and keep it up.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha. Yeah, anyway, this is the kinds of things that go on, folks, and I got a lot more, but, you know, after a while, it's like hearing an old vinyl record scratching, you know, stuck on one spot. But I my warning to you is that you have many, you don't have to be a radical and run out there and strap on a stick and a broom and start cleaning it up yourselves. I think you can start demanding that the appointments that the governor and the legislators whisk in and appoint and approve, start asking them, you know. But that brings me to another subject real quick. You notice there's gun rules and they're going to engage in the talk about the marriage and same-sex marriage. And they're just in your bedrooms, at the dinner table, at the soda fountain now, dictating what you can do. I would say to you, if, for me now, and I'm not the brightest bulb in the lamp, but I will submit this to you. Ask them, why can't they pass, and why don't they clamor over one another to pass an ethics bill for themselves? You know that they're always protecting us from us, but they don't do anything to protect us from them. They whittle down the public information records law. They snatch one out and appoint another to screw us at the desk. I just learned something yesterday that was not a shock to me, but I got to share this with you. I was told that one of these state offices, or one, I shouldn't say which office or anything, because I'm going to follow up. But I was told just yesterday that the clerks were being told that when the darky or the dark guy comes in to look at records, give him the records and put him in the air-conditioned room and freeze him to death. So I say, wow, that's pretty cool, man. But anyway, this is the kind of mindset that exists here. When the dark guy comes in, give him the records and put him in a cold place to freeze him to death. Where does that come from? Well, I guess maybe, I don't know, it's the local way of feeling that I'm a threat to bringing and bearing the truth. All I want is a document to reconstruct what it is you did or didn't do. But then I should say I'm not surprised. But anyway,
Again, real briefly, I'm going to change tracks, and I will be talking about this George Grace thing later and to come, and I have so much examples and incidences of this, but again, what you saw, the display of behavior, the behavior being displayed by the state health department is wrong, odorous, and it just stinks to high heaven that it's corrupt. And we need some leverage over them for accountability. And then yesterday's truck accident, or a day before, the lady, unfortunately, my condolences go out to that family that was run over. And that while there, I visited the site not to see the sad part of it, but a continuation on what I believe to be problematic in our trash handling and the process. The way things are built over there, and this is not to say that this applies specifically to that incident, but as I stood there for myself looking at it, there was one can, the gentleman coming down the hill, the driver of the operating the truck comes down the hill, makes a right turn and sees a blue can recycled. It's an automated truck. The arm is on the right side. The can is there. He look up and sees no more cans sitting along the houses or the curb. So he decide grab that one and back out. Okay. I would never want to be in his predicament, and it could happen to any of us. With backing accidents do happen, and let's just hope none of it happened to us. But we have these huge trucks, and so some of the workers have shared with me, here's some of the contributing factors that come into play and is subjecting the community or members of the community to certain dangers, and maybe the city, by me stating it now, will acknowledge it and have a greater training of their drivers. And that is, when they turn the corner and they see, for example, that there's only one can, they're in their mind, okay, let me hurry up and back out, because I don't want to see somebody up higher up running out with a can because they didn't get it out at night and see at the last minute going to run out. That's one. But they also pointed out, but they're never in a hurry come Christmas time. The drivers are not. The drivers take their time to get out of the car, the truck, to collect the envelope that you've given them for the kind services of driving the trash truck, and you're already bleeding through the nose what you've paid them, but that's another show. But and they'll kindly get out and get the 12-pack or 24-pack, depending on how many garbage cans he picked up, and take his time, aloha, and get in the car and drive off. Go back to the yard, and instead of sharing it all, hey, you want to buy a 12-pack for $10? This is his mindset, folks. So we need, there are several things goes on here. We need to reevaluate how, and I'm not suggesting that these conditions contributed to that accident. And I'm not going to guess at what caused it. But it reminds me that if you, in fact, have a route, as described to me by several of the drivers, if you have a route and you're automated, you're to work 10 hours a day. That's when you do come on duty. And you can finish your route. You get one route. You can finish that route in 3 hours. Now you got the rest of the day. You can either go home because you finish your route, or you can stay and get a double. And the double just simply means there's another route that they didn't have a man, or the trucks were broken down and they need coverage. So they give you the route, and so you already get your 10 hours of salary. Now you work 5 hours, but you can only do a half of that route and get 5 hours overtime, time and a half for the overtime. And if no one wants the other half of that route, you are then, and you can get that second half of that one route. So you're making now 10 hours of time and a half, plus your 10 hours of salary. Now,
I don't know if that's right or wrong. The trash must go. And the motto is to keep it flow. But here's the problem. If you have that kind of encouragement and enticement, it lends itself to a climate that you're going to be encouraging people to be working at a hurried pace. Therefore, there's a potential for the disregard for caution, safety, or what have you. And I'm not investigating that matter the other day. I'm just sharing with you, these are insights. So, again, just a few things, and we're going to talk about it later on down the road on this. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I just got a comment. Carol, you know, these guys work 3 hours. They can get up to 10 hours pay picking up trash. Wonder when they get back to the base early, they clean those trucks inside and out because they smell so terrible after picking up the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make them work for those extra those hours that they are paid for.
Yeah.
I go home and get... I don't know what's wrong with the city and with the union and whatnot. They have to get paid after they get through after 3 hours. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
They should clean the truck. It's so stink when they come by and they have all that trash in there and they dump it out.
Yeah.
Clean it. You know, it's their truck, so it looks perky next time they use it.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Good point. But, again, these are some of the things that contribute. It creates a climate, lends itself to a hurried workforce. The incentive. So why did they go from manual to automated? We need to ask the city and county of that, because imagine men on the back of the truck could have witnessed that person or a young person or a car or the senior citizen that was killed yesterday being able to hit a button because they see it and it immediately stops. But they were worried about saving money supposedly because of injuries and industrial claims and what have you. But the reality is the benefit worth one person dying? I'll let you think about it, and thank you for joining me. And if you have any questions, carolcox.com, feel free to call. And let's just hope that somewhere along the way, the Department of Health, the Governor's Office, and all the others find a little compassion to come clean with us and do what's right, because we're going to be in a mess here in years to come if we continue at the rate we're going. So thank you, and I'll see you next week.
Now this world is in an uproar. People singing a song. The way these reds is cutting up. Ain't gonna be long. I might dig myself a hole. Move my baby down in the ground. You know when I come out, there won't be no walls around. Now they take me to the riverfront to cross the deep blue sea. My baby's wondering, man, what become of me? I might dig myself a cave, move my baby down in the ground. You know when I come out, there won't be no walls around. Mama, any way you do, I might dig myself a cave, move my baby down in the ground. You know when I come out, there won't be no walls around. You know I love my baby. and I want her for myself. I go to war, she got to get somebody else. I might dig myself a cave, move my baby down in the ground. You know when I come out.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.